We ought to approve what really happened, is my proposal. That we ask Yasmin to bring that to us along with everything else for the September meeting for us to ratify, and that we work on getting that right.
Okay, so let me just clarify this. So we would still go ahead with the process we laid out yesterday for the next 3 months, right, Carol? In this, we would still go ahead with that process.
You mean for approving next year's budget?
No, for the next 3 months' budget. I thought we had agreed yesterday that within 2 weeks we're going to get this information, the corrected information, including the updated consolidated budget, and that will go out to the local stations areas also. And then within 3 weeks, you know, a week after that, we would have a conference call to try and see if we wanted to adopt and approve that, the three-month section of this fiscal year's budget. Would that process still go ahead?
I don't know. Sure. Why not? That way we would be acting in advance of the expenditures, which is what we're supposed to do.
Right. So we would be doing, we'd have a two-step process for this fiscal year, for the 2002 fiscal year. The first step is, not in order of importance, but one step is the adopting of the upcoming 3 months, and we adopted that yesterday. We approved that. We set up a way to do that yesterday. Then the new proposal from Carol is that we would ask the finance office, ask our controller to...
Working with all the station managers and the finance committee.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, that's right. Working with the finance committee, the station managers, the business people at the different stations to bring to us for approval at the September meeting, the most accurate budget. And reflection of what expenses had already happened this year, so we can act on that.
Leslie, it wouldn't be a budget then, it would be just expenses. We would okay the expenditures.
So, no, I'm actually saying we were responsible for every dime that came in and went out this year.
Clearly, I understand.
And we should, at the end of the close of this year, sign off and approve on what we did.
The whole budget.
Okay, I clearly understand that, but we don't have a budget. So what I'm suggesting is that we are okaying the expenditures.
And you're listening to this budget discussion on KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno, KPFK in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, Radio for Houston.org, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, and the Indy Media Center in Washington, D.C.
That's
June the 30th.
Right.
So she's suggesting for half a year, half a calendar year, that we okay the expenditures for that period of time. And I'm suggesting that be the actual proposal in terms of okaying the expenditures from January whenever until the June the 30th.
That's not quite exactly. I want to sign off and say this is how much money we took into income. We are signing off that this is how much money we took in, and this is how we spent it.
Okay.
Income and expense. Income and expense, as if it were a budget.
We don't have a budget.
We don't, but it's going to be a report. We're going to ratify what happened after the fact.
Okay.
Right. The proposal is that at the September meeting, we would ratify what happened, both in income and expenses, from January 1st onward to this fiscal year. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if that's clear, then let's see if we can vote on this. Carol made the proposal. Second it?
Second.
Okay. Pete and Robert. Okay, so all in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, any abstentions? Teresa's out of the room, so. We assume you're voting with us. No. You didn't vote. Okay, so are there any other issues related to budget that we need to clarify right now? Otherwise, I think we're pretty clear. Okay, so then let's move on. What I want to do also, because I think it'll be hopefully fairly quick, is the WBAI committee. We raised this yesterday, but they said we need to come back to it. In section 4 of the board packet is a report that Anthony McCall, who chaired that committee, put together summarizing the work that had been done. And at the end of that report, there is a proposal to us, a recommendation that one of us has to turn into a proposal, that we dissolve the WBAI committee and that we also ask the WBAI local board to take up two tasks in this continuing interim period, and the interim period being until the Pacifica bylaws have been passed and the transition has been made. Anyway, the two tasks would be to monitor the completion of the union contract with AFTRA with the paid staff, as well as the process that's underway for the unpaid staff to form its own bargaining unit. And that the monitoring of this would come by monthly updates that would be provided to the lab by the either the appropriate WBAI management or the executive director of Pacifica, as well as updates from the unpaid staff representative that's on the lab. That's one function, is to monitor those contracts. The other is to work, that the lab would be asked to work with, to collaborate with the executive director, WBAI management, and the local interim board members, local in the New York City area, to ensure adherence to staff hiring, firing, and promotion policies and practices that are consistent with the Pacifica mission as well as the law. In this collaboration, the lab and area board, national board members would function as a special committee, having advice and consent authority, and therefore require adequate prior notification of major proposed staff moves or changes. So, again, the first part of this recommendation is to dissolve the committee. Second part is to ask the lab to take up these two functions. Is there any discussion on this? Comment, discussion. Carol?
The last function of the committee actually is has some overlapping functions with the personnel committee we just established. So I'd like to see that the IPNB member that serves on the committee and the lab member kind of maybe combine those functions somehow at WBAI or coordinate, just make sure that we don't have committees competing with each other.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, James.
As you know, I was on that committee. This is James Ferguson. This effectively dissolves the committee. Obviously, the only contact with the board, this board, would be their reporting to. They wouldn't have to report to this board. They would monitor, but there would be no report back to us. Regarding the contract negotiations, or for that matter, staff hiring, firing, and promotion. Obviously, that would be outside of our scope anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that
we should be asking the executive director to keep us up to date and informed on any union negotiations, contracts, discussions. In general, not just at WBAI, but throughout the network, so that the board does get those reports regularly.
Okay, so this is just an exchange between the ED and the lab.
This is to suggest that while the work of the committee is done, that there were two concerns that came out of that work. One was that there be some monitoring of the negotiations of the union contract. The other is that there be some process to make sure that hiring and firing and promotion policies were following whatever guidelines presently exist. Obviously, those guidelines change, then they would have to follow those new guidelines. But to monitor that. And the suggestion is that the lab be given that authority as opposed to maintaining the special committee to do that.
So what is the authority of the lab?
It would be these two things, monitoring.
No, I'm saying they're just monitoring. If they can't, all they can do is report to who if the guidelines aren't followed. Who are they reporting to?
Good
question.
Leslie? Yes. There's a word in here that is conferring some authority to this committee. It says advise and consent authority. So we just need to be aware of it. I think in answer to your question, though, James, what's going on here is we want a monitoring committee that's going to keep tabs on things, have an IPNB member in the lab involved, and I don't see a reporting function here, though.
The only issue is that the EDs, without this, the ED is going to do that anyway, I'm assuming. They're going to be in negotiations, and they're going to have to report out what's going on in those negotiations. It's in the interest of this organization at our level to find out what is going on because we have oversight over that.
Right.
So my question is, why are we creating another level for the lab to then take on the responsibility that the ED should be responsible for?
David and then Pete.
If I might, it appears to me that there are two issues here, several, but one is monitoring of union negotiations, and I'll just plug UE real quick right here for the unpaid staff. But anyway, and then second is collaborating with the ED management and et cetera relative to staff hiring, firing, and promotion policies and practices. But that does have, that is the one that contains the advising consent function, and frankly, I'm very concerned about that. I think that, you know, what it does is it gives the lab and this, whatever this committee would be, the hiring and firing veto
right.
power.
Yeah.
And I'm not at all comfortable with that at this stage. I think the personnel committee needs to review these issues, and so I would speak against that particular provision. I think monitoring is vital.
I think so, too. But that shouldn't be in this.
It shouldn't
be dictated in this format. I think this needs to be reviewed.
Let me suggest that there are two parts to this. One is dissolving the BAI committee, and we need to decide whether or not we're ready to dissolve it.
Yeah.
Then the second part is these two functions that are called to our attention. Do we need the BAI committee to stay in existence in order to do that? Should they be handed over to the lab? Should they be handed over to the executive director? You know, or are these concerns that aren't real concerns and we don't have to worry about them? And that's another option. Can we just hear from Miguel? He's the chair of the lab.
I think that based on the situation that we face in WBAI, and the national level, that we thought in the beginning that was a need for this committee, even when we didn't have a clear idea how things going to be working in WBAI, and I thought that was the reason why we created that committee. But on the other hand, and I didn't have the most chance to talk with Anthony McCall and tell him those recommendations, I think that could be a real problem in terms of the hiring and firing. Because I think that creates some kind of legally speaking, creates some kind of problem with the lab. Because sometimes when people got fired, easily you can end in court. And I don't want to be calling court like I fire somebody. But I think there's something that we should take a look into. If you decide to dissolve that committee, I think that the policy that was part of that committee should be gone with it. The lab will continue getting involved somehow in terms of the, maybe monitoring it. Maybe that could be something that locally could be resolved in terms of take a little look into the union negotiation and make sure that that takes place. But on the other hand, the other staff that is there, I don't think that the lab should take that responsibility. And the reason for that is when it comes to firing and hiring people, we would like to be part of some kind of committee that advise and all of that. But I think it could be really complicated for the lab, and we already got so many things in mind.
Can I suggest that we just act on the first point to dissolve the WBI committee?
Yes.
And that's
if that's a proposal, I'll second that.
That's okay.
You just did.
That's all right.
Can we vote?
Shall I make that proposal?
Okay, you want to make it?
I'll make that proposal.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, unless there's more discussion, maybe we can move to a vote on that.
I think we should vote now.
The proposal is that we dissolve the WBAI committee that was created at the January meeting.
Hear, hear.
Okay? All those in favor, raise your hands. And that's unanimous.
Okay.
Okay, great.
I have a question. I have two questions, Leslie.
Yes.
One of them is, I'm assuming that in paragraph 2, when he says that the monitoring would come via their monthly updates by the Pacifica ED or appropriate WBAI management. That means that if ED doesn't do it, he would delegate that duty to BAI management, or we have to clarify which individual would do it.
No,
second,
we're not speaking to that anymore. But I think the census body was all we wanted to do in terms of the recommendations put forth from Anthony McCall was to act to dissolve the committee. That's all we're going to do on this. We're not going to take action on the other part of it.
Okay.
Okay? And we did that already. So we can move the agenda then. The next agenda item is on-air policy. And there are actually two things related to this. Again, in Section 10 of the board book, there are a proposal that came from David Fertig from the local advisory board in Southern California, and then a proposal from me. I think both of these come out of the reality that in when we first came into being at the December board meeting, we passed a resolution to lift the gag rule or gag rules that had existed in various forms around the network. But we didn't really speak to any other, a host of other issues related to on-air policy. We just sort of left that. So both of these, I think, come out of that reality. David, do you want to say a word about yours first, and then I'll say a word about mine?
Yes, thank you, Leslie. Dave Fertig, KPFK. The purpose of this, and again, this goes to an attempt to keep things relatively simple, and I think something that, while it's subject to interpretation, it comes from the perspective that it's better not to tie your hands or get all wrapped up in a lot of rules on oneself and seek to ensure that the interpretation comes from an ethical place, that thereby it's a rather generally stated policy, and it goes as follows, that is a policy of Pacifica not to permit the broadcast of personal attacks or personal characterizations, unconsented disclosure of private personnel matters, or the abuse of airtime to advance a position in internal station disputes. And however, this policy is to be liberally interpreted to allow civil and principled discussion of matters of concern to the Pacifica family, including Pacifica's principles, processes, and procedures. And the purpose of it, like I said, you know, to allow people to talk without putting too many constraints upon them.
Let me, if I might, just also summarize the proposal that I made, and actually part of it has already been dealt with. I put forth a four-part proposal. The first part was basically reaffirming our earlier decision to eliminate any gag rules. So that's the first part. Second part specifically speaks as part of what, in an actually more elaborate form, to what David was just saying. And I'll just read that. While the Interim Pacifica National Board encourages open and honest debate of the issues, we will not allow the use of our air for personal attacks or vendettas. Racist, sexist, homophobic, anti-Semitic, or other language that derides, mocks, belittles, insults, or otherwise denigrates any single person or group of people based on their physical appearance or ability, age, religion, ethnic heritage, or economic class will not be tolerated. Further self-promotion and personal attacks, as opposed to the articulation of political differences, on other programmers, producers, and station or foundation personnel are not acceptable. Any complaints about the abuse of our air at any of our five stations should be made in writing and sent to Pacifica's executive director and the appropriate station manager. Based on agreements in any union contracts, and any other contractual or legal obligations related to this issue, the executive director and station manager will develop a suitable course of action, including issuing a warning, taking disciplinary steps, and even the possibility of removal from the air. Such action should be taken immediately and explained in writing. The third section calls for the programming around governance and bylaws issues. I think we can just remove that from my proposal since we dealt with it already. The fourth section calls on the National Board to commit ourselves to not abuse our role as members of this board. Specifically, we will not insist that we go on the air at any of our five stations or nor network-wide. This does not restrict or prohibit us from responding to requests by program producers to be on their shows. Similarly, we call upon all the members of the five local advisory boards to respect the integrity of producers by not insisting on or demanding airtime. That's the message there. Let me just say that these proposals were circulating, and I know I got some feedback on that section that I read, the second part, that mostly had to do with concerns about how we interpret when somebody is somebody being racist or anti-Semitic or homophobic. You know, these are open to interpretation, and also on whatever steps might be taken. And it has been suggested to me, and I think that wisely, that perhaps we just go on record today that these are concerns of ours, and that we encourage more discussion before we, you know, nail down a definite course of action, or, you know, what disciplinary steps might be taken, or this or that. That we need more discussion on that.
Madam Chairperson.
You're going to be disciplined. Discipline.
Hey, that's mocking and deriding, George.
As Madam Chairperson, as
Leslie,
that person too. As Teresa and I asked of you on line 5 of part 2, first paragraph, would you please insert religion?
I thought I did.
No.
Yes, she did. She read religion in it.
Parents, ability, age, ethnic heritage, or economic class.
She read it
okay,
in her
it is,
rendition.
Yeah, for some reason, George got the earlier version in
so
his book. Religion was included.
Okay.
I have the
earlier version.
Yes.
That's why there's two versions.
So you have two versions or whatever.
Okay.
Carol.
I like this suggestion you got that there needs to be further discussion. I circulated both Dave's and Leslie's proposals to all KPFA staff, and I received a number of concerns, clarifications, some along the lines that Leslie mentioned. I think we do need an on-air policy, and I'd like to see more discussion formalized by the formation of a committee that should work at all five station areas to come back to the board with recommended on-air policy after it's been discussed with staff members and labs.
Sister Chairperson.
I'm very sorry. Somebody just passed me a note, and I just missed. Could you just say again what you just said, Carol? I'm sorry.
I suggest we refer these policies to a committee that would work in all five station areas, run these policy ideas past staff and labs, and come back with a recommendation to the board concerning an on-air policy.
And then you report it, yes. That's fine. I mean,
no, I've gotten many concerns from staff at KPFA.
And then I said, Sister Chairperson.
Sister Chairperson.
Sister
That's
Chairperson.
What, that, now we're getting somewhere.
Now you're getting somewhere. With regards to these policies, my understanding is that we're just going to put out a sense that we're supporting the discussion of it. Now, with regards to the committee that we're proposing, is there a way that we, because we're forming committees, I think, quite quickly, is there a way that we can append this issue with another committee that we already have in existence? Would that be something that's palatable by folks, or is it?
Oh, bingo.
Yeah.
The race and diversity efforts, I think,
yes,
might be an appropriate place for this issue.
No,
absolutely not.
How about finance?
I think the personnel committee.
Personnel committee.
Personnel
I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is a different topic, but I very much appreciate what James is saying, that we'll set up so many committees and nobody will be on them.
That's
you know,
right.
They won't really happen. So maybe the personnel committee.
It is part of the personnel
yeah.
policy.
Yeah, okay. So we'll fold this into the personnel committee.
Well, since James is going to be on it, I guess I'll take refuge in FX.
Okay, so my understanding is the proposal now is that these are concerns that the board has, and that we're setting up a process that includes the personnel committee as well as discussion at the within each of the five signal areas that would include listeners, programmers, staff, you know, include the full family. To more fully develop the proposal on these on-air policies. Okay, is that Jabari?
This is Jabari Skia. My question is just, would these policies apply to just staff and programmers and not call in listeners? Because
well,
I have
that was one of the wrinkles in this. Who exactly does it apply
right,
to?
Right, because I have a very great reservation for limiting the free speech of any person, whether you like the speech or not. I think we can mandate a certain decorum from our own people, but we shouldn't. It's not free speech if you can tell somebody what they can't say.
Right. But again, instead of getting into the substance of this right now, I think that concern needs to go to the committee as well. Oh, I'm so sorry. How do you know when it's almost time to end the meeting?
When you start throwing water at people.
on the other hand, Leslie, Madam Chairperson, we're all dedicated to coming from the bottom up. But are we going to coordinate this? So we have one single policy.
Yeah. The proposal that we're being asked to vote on is that the personnel committee, which we set up, would incorporate this in their work. That this would be part of their charge to review this. That they would also be discussions at the five signal areas that would be fed into that personnel committee discussion as well. The committee will address these kind of issues. Who does it apply to? What are the limits of it? What enforcement mechanisms do we need or not need? What are the parameters? And how is it applied around the network?
And so,
but all those kinds of questions is what the committee would be addressing.
But are we going to have all these committees talk to each other and so we come up with a unified?
Yeah, this is all going to be coordinated through the personnel committee, yes. Yeah, so they're all talking. So that's the feedback from the five stations is coming into that personnel committee, which includes people from each of the five stations.
They're pretty clear. And I would suggest that it's rather obvious, but it should be expressly stated, that any such decisions on this would have to come back before the board. Just be a recommendation. And I move the question.
Yeah. Okay. So can we vote on this?
Yep. You have it been seconded?
Yeah, it was seconded.
Okay. Let's roll.
Okay.
Refer to committee.
So, does everybody understand what we're voting on? Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. And seems like it's unanimous again.
Yep.
I don't know. If we ever tell the judge, so we had all these unanimous votes. I don't know.
It's a personnel committee.
Hmm? Excuse me?
The personnel committee consists of at least one IPNB member and one lab member from each of the five signal areas. Their task is to take input, hearings, talk to everybody, farm it out to staff, get review and comment, and recommend something back.
Okay, we did that. Let's move on. The next item, this is the last item of substance here. Is program/station mission. Jabari, do you want to open up on this? Again, there's documents on this in the board packet. Let me say, by the way, I meant to announce this earlier, anybody who lost an item, unless they've all been recovered, Robin, you should check in with Robin if you've lost or found an item. She might have it or be able to help you find it.
Actually, back the part that I submitted that had to do with this slash item is I had submitted a mission fulfillment rating proposal to help us evaluate our programming. Just like we do an accounting of our finances to find out how much we take in and how much we spend, in order to do a real management of our airways, which we as directors are mandated to do, that we have to know what's going out on the airways. We just have to do at first a basic accounting of what's on the air. And so part of what I was suggesting was that we set up a mechanism to determine what is going out on the air and to create a structure whereby the general managers and station managers collate this data and present it to us in a standard format so we can review the content of the airwaves that we manage across the national network. So I included certain categories such as, what is the diversity of your programmers, gender, ethnicity, even age? What type of programming do you have? How much music content? How much news? How much public affair? How many single-hosted programs? What's the age? Basic demographic information of programming so that we can make a determination like we do with our financial structure of what we're putting out on the air. So once we get a basic determination of what we're putting out on the air, we can then begin to do some assessments of what we're putting out on the air from the point of view of strategic planning, programming alterations, mission fulfillment, community needs assessment, and all these other types of things that we're supposed to be doing at the local level, and also so that the local and national people will see exactly what's on there. I know in my listening area, as Carol said, I probably listen to maybe 15 hours a week of my station, basically 9 to 12 or something like that. I don't listen to, I'm just not there to listen to what's on the air from 10 p.m. to 7 p.m. or 9 p.m. I just think that we need to do that so that we can all get a sense of how we're managing the resource that we are, at least right now, primarily involved, which is on-the-air programming.
Yes. Okay, I'm really tired, Jabari, and I wonder if we can maybe discuss this at a later time because this is really serious. You said something here about program alterations, and you talk about criteria. Who's setting these standards, and what will be the end result of this? I really thought that we hired people who are programmers to program the radio stations. That's what I thought the ED did. And I don't want to be in the business of programming the radio stations.
This is Jabari Z. I did not say anything about programming. I said accumulate.
I wrote it down when you said it. You said so we can determine program alterations.
Yes, because we want to have national programming. What kind of national programming we want to have? What kind of, if we're going to have national days of programming, what kind of national days of programming we're going to have? In other words, if we don't have these things and we say, hey, we don't have national days of programming, or hey, we did three days.
The national days of programming were determined by the station managers, the program directors,
Janice,
which incidentally we should be inviting to these meetings,
and the
executive director.
Sister Chair, point of information.
Yes.
Is there a proposal on the table from...
All I am explaining is the purpose of this, because what I want to do eventually, I want to know what we put out on the air. Just like we want to know how much money we take in, how much money we spend, I want to know what we put out on the air. I want to be able to see it. Then we will go through and basically be able to evaluate it. We can assess it based on our mission fulfillment, and that will be a collaborative. All of that will be done through the normal collaborative administrative processes. So it's merely to formalize and institutionalize how we collect data. That's my major concern. How do we collect the data of what we put on the air, and how do we break it down so we can make some a definitive understanding of how the programming fits within the needs assessments that we are supposed to be doing at the local advisory board level, and other criteria that we as a board would like to at least assess and then make some other types of formulations on.
Rob?
Jabari, let me make a suggestion. I think, and we've discussed this before, what Jabari is suggesting is that we try to come up with sort of some indices of determining how the programming works so that we can measure it in a standard fashion. But I think we've also done something today in terms of mandating that we just start putting programming out there. I would like to suggest that one of the things we add to this is that in the process of coming up with these indices, that we also meet with station management, the executive director and station management,
so that in future, when the board determines that we should be doing programming of a certain type, we can work with management to develop the programming format so that it conforms to things that our listeners are going to be concerned about, and that we don't wind up suggesting that we take bit after bit after bit of the airwaves and put programming out there without getting the assistance of our professionals in structuring how it's going to be presented to the listeners. There's no question but that the governance, the elections, issues are things that we need to find a way to program. We should be covering our own stories. But I think to just say that it has to be done without having put any thought into how it's going to be presented really makes life very difficult for everybody, including the listeners. So if we could agree to do that, Jabari, and also suggest that your group or whatever subcommittee this is immediately meet with management so that we can start talking about how we're going to go about programming these special issues.
Maybe I can just call on Sean Jobman, who's on the lab out here, and they've done some work on this related to this. We have the floor, Mike.
All the board members got a copy of the Community Needs Assessment Committee report that the KPFA Station Board prepared. It addresses some of these issues on a process that we went through here. We're also doing a lot of analysis through the KPFA Station Board Diversity Committee on compiling data on the programming that exists and recommendations for programming. Our committees, the two of them, the Community Needs Assessment and Diversity, would be more than happy to provide technical assistance to any of the other Pacifica station areas.
A lot of the information that, and you know, really what I read mainly what you want to hear is some information. What are we putting out on the air before we could even make some qualitative policy decisions? We'd need to know what we're doing. And at KPFA, our diversity committee has studied the whole 24/7 and has mapped it out as to what kind of programming it is, race and ethnicity as to and other criteria, and our marvelous Max Blanchet has charts. I'd be glad to send them around to everybody, because it's really, I mean, it's a good beginning anyway towards what you're trying
so
to do.
Can we do that? Can we? Because I know I'm interested in seeing that. Can we ask from each of the five stations that kind of, you know, overview of what's going on with the programming? You know, maybe using Max's charts as a, you know, that each station can fill in their own information.
He said he started doing it for all stations. He stood up a little
right,
while ago.
Right, right. That's all we act on now, is that we ask for that information. Now, once we have that information and talk to people more about the kind of ideas that are raised here, we can then come back to other proposals about what, if any, recommendations we want to make, you know, with having gotten that information.
Good idea,
no,
Madam Chairperson.
What is Max's? Is it like a program grid, or what is it that Max did?
I can email it to you. Max has looked at the whole 24-hour, 7-day grid.
And he wrote in what? So it's like a program grid, what used to be in the folio?
No. He has analyzed it and provided statistics as to how much of the programming is public affairs, how much is music, how much is news, how much is produced by Latinos, how much is produced by women, that kind of stuff. Given a statistic.
Can I speak? This is James Ferguson. Can we then just receive the information so the board can review it? And then discuss this possibly at our next meeting?
Yeah. That's what I was suggesting.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I just want to clarify to make clear what I'm my aim. This is on the mission fulfillment rating. I think what I'm hearing is an extrapolation of the use of the data into areas that people are queasy about. My first goal is to decide from a national perspective what we are carrying on the air, period. That's what I want to know. That's our output. I want to know what that is, not in an ad hoc way, but in some formalized way that each station can, in a standard format, provide the information, and then as a board, with the consultation of everybody in the mix, from listener on up and down the stream, we can begin to assess this data in some kind of coherent manner and use it to make planning decisions behind. That's my purpose.
Right, I understand. That's the purpose that you have there. What I'm hearing from other people on the board, and I should say I agree with this, so what we should do now, and all we should do now, is ask for the fullest of information from each of the five stations. You know, and Max has offered to help do this with each of the five stations, that we not make any determination now about what we're going to use this information for, that we just gather the information. Once we have it, then we can talk about whatever might come next.
I have a question, though. How does that interface with the lab's traditional role of looking at mission and programming?
I know in Washington, where we did a needs assessment last year, it would help and buttress that activity.
It doesn't subsume the lab's authority.
No, it would help them in that.
The lab can help prepare the information.
Yes.
You can ask the lab to do it.
Right. So what's the latest proposal?
The proposal is that we ask the lab, working with Max.
I have been
practicing. Isn't here, but did jump up earlier and offer to help. Right, he did offer to help. To gather for the interim board, and of course this would be made public, it would only be our information to look at, information about programming at each of the stations. That would include not just the grid, not just what shows are on at what hour, but the breakdown of that. What percentage is cultural? What percentage is public affairs or news? How many women? How many African Americans? How many Caribbean Americans? Women, men, producers. Some overview of what's going on with programming at each of the stations. That the labs would be asked to do that, working with Max. Now, if they need help from the station management or a program council, or one would hope that those bodies would be helpful.
Actually, what I'm saying is that I would like to formalize that there would be a formalization that the information be shared, and that there is a spirit of cooperation to get that information and to use it cooperatively.
Yes, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Okay, are we clear now?
Yes.
Okay, so can we move to a vote?
Yes.
Okay, all in favor, please raise your hand. And all opposed? And abstention? Abstention or opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed? Okay. One opposed.
You,
one, two, three, four, five, six. 9, 4, and one opposed. Okay. Can we move on? David Furtick also shared with us a proposal on program mission statement. Do you want to speak to that, David? We're doing pretty good here, folks, in terms of our agenda. We're almost done.
Yes, thank you, Sister Leslie. The proposal... fearless leader works for me. She doesn't seem to mind that too much. And she is indeed.
Come on, Dave.
Program mission statement. This is a proposal that came before the local advisory board in Southern California. And the purpose of it was to get a sense from the programmers themselves what their programming is about and aimed at. It goes as follows. As to each program or series of programs being aired, prepared, or proposed for airing on a Pacifica Network station, said program's producer and or programmer is required to provide in advance a writing of less than 500 words, please, explaining how said program or series fulfills which sections or parts of the Pacifica mission as stated in Article 2 of the Articles of Incorporation. This mission statement is to be submitted once as to each program or series and is to be provided to both the station program director and lab along with the program proposal. No program may be aired unless said program mission statement is properly provided. If a program substantially changes, a subsequent program mission statement may be required by the program director or majority of the local advisory board. Now, clearly, this I've spoken to a few staff people about it, and there's generally sort of lukewarm reception to it, I should say. But not negative. I mean, indeed, I spoke with Roy Hurst, and he indicated, well, you know, something like that's probably good to have with a program proposal. But other people felt that it was perhaps something, a tool that would be potentially abused to interfere with programming and to be judgmental of programming. So it's a problematic proposal, I grant.
Why do we need it?
I'm sorry?
Well, I mean, besides having giving one more thing for our staff and folks to do, what's the purpose?
The purpose, George Barnstein asked, well, what's the purpose of this? And the purpose of it, it was intended to get a sense from the programmers themselves. What is the point of the programming? What is it they're trying to do with it? And it was intended to be an assistance, frankly, for the lab to be able to, in doing its ascertainment and community assessment work, to at least have a sense of what the program, because people can listen to a program and I could draw a conclusion of what I think and how I think this particular thing satisfies the mission. But I think before I draw a conclusion from it, it would be good to hear from the person who's creating it, her or himself, to know what is their intent.
Pete, that's a local level. That's not a national issue.
Okay, we have...
I grant that it may be too operational to...
That is not the board.
We have some other folks here. Rob and then Janice.
I'm sorry, but this is a piece of needless bureaucracy. We don't need to inflict any more of it on ourselves than we already have.
Thank you.
We have an ascertainment process. In the ascertainment process, and we now have station managers that are working cooperatively or trying to work cooperatively with the labs. If the labs want to go through and basically interview programmers and determine what the programs are, there's nothing to prevent them from doing that. But asking the programmers to go through an exercise like this is incredible. It's harassment.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I agree with everything Rob said, and I want you to know, if I were on the air, I wouldn't do this. I don't know what it would take to make me write this for you. And you just have to kick me off the air. So I think
hello, the program is in the room.
I would never kick you off the air again.
Would you like to withdraw this proposal?
Yeah.
Jabari and then Carol. Jabari, Carol, Ray. Jabari.
This is Jabari Kia. I know that in PFW in the late 80s and 90s when Tom Porter was the station manager, and this is coming from Tom Porter, who I've talked to, and other programmers, in fact, who were there, that part of the process of apprenticeship and getting new people on the board, on the air, was that not only did they do apprenticeships with, generally you got on the air, but you did an apprenticeship, you became a volunteer, you worked on other people's show, you learned the ropes, you learned the culture. And then what he would do, in fact, they would go to the people and say, I think you are at the point now where you could do a show, that you have something to say if people put in proposals. And what part of his process was, or that the station at the time, not just him but also the other producers, was that they would take people and they would make them script out three of their shows. They would make them script out at least three shows worth of what they would do to make them really understand what they were trying to do on the air and get feedback from more experienced people. I personally don't see this as much of an imposition. I think that if you really are about the mission, you really want to be at Pacifica, just like people write all kinds of essays to get into this school, that you really should have something to say about why you want to be on the mission. And I don't think it... I don't see how it is a natural harassment to ask anyone who says, I want to use your airwaves to say stuff, well, how does it fit? What do you want to do? I don't see how that is harassment.
Okay, can we call on Carol? And I actually want to suggest something here.
Yeah. Perhaps I should defer to your suggestion, but I talk too much.
Get away.
I think it is very reasonable, because we are mission-driven radio, or should be, that all of our programming over the next period of time be looked at as to how it relates to our mission. But I don't think that necessarily this is the best way to do it. I think perhaps talking about our having set up a personnel committee, we need to know how often and under what process programs are being reviewed, and how they are being, what they are being reviewed for, and how new programs get on the air and what criterion are used. I mean, I don't know how much we need to know about it, but we do need to know that all of our programs are somehow, or all of our stations are somehow or another committed to fulfilling Pacifica's mission. And that there's no reason, there's absolutely no reason for anything to be on Pacifica that doesn't have some reasonable, rational relationship to the mission, because we've only got 24/7.
That's so the same mission that we couldn't agree on this weekend? The same one that everybody had a different idea about?
Yes, that mission. That's okay. Correct. The one that has many, many diverse points of view. Many wonderful and vibrant ways of looking at it. We don't have to all agree on the mission. We just have to agree that there's loads. We have to agree that the mission admits of many interpretations, but that everything going out over our air has some relationship to it, according to somebody's lights. All right? And, you know, we don't have to define the mission any more than that, but we need to be looking at our programming with a view to mission, which I think the personnel committee could be asking the question. It could be asking the question, how are programs being evaluated, reviewed, and critiqued and getting on the air?
Let me try to suggest something here, totally based on the fact that it's 9 minutes to three, and it's been a long weekend and a long week and a long 6 months and a long 2 years and a long whatever, that I think that the issues raised in these last few minutes of conversation are very, very important, and really speak to the heart and soul of what we're trying to do here as we rebuild this foundation. Given how important they are, I don't really think we have the wherewithal, and maybe I'm just projecting my own status right now, but I don't think we have the wherewithal, I know we don't have the time, to really have the kind of debate and discussion about how we're looking at programming. Where, you know, who does the looking? What is the mission? What does it mean to say we're mission-driven? All these questions. I really think we need to reschedule this discussion. Yeah. I think we need to put this off. And I do think that we, one of the things that came out of the retreat was that the board felt that we needed to figure out improved and more frequent communications among ourselves in between the board meetings, not to make decisions, not to do anything closed door or anything like that, but to circulate ideas,
deliberate,
to keep each other up to date, to share information. And this is one of those conversations that we need to have, that the labs need to have, the programmers need to have, the management needs to have, you know, throughout that. And again, I think our greatest contribution in this period of transition is to be encouraging that kind of debate and discussion throughout the network, throughout the Pacifica family, and to give it some structure when we can. So I really want to urge us actually to not go further with this discussion right now and figure out, you know, over the coming months, you know, how we advance the discussion so that, again, at the September meeting, we can have a more focused and clear, articulation of these issues.
Yeah, as a maker of the motion, I'll accept that.
Okay, thank you. So, I see Bob.
Suggestion to follow up on this. I think you're absolutely right, Leslie, about mechanisms to communicate these things better. So could perhaps Carol, I hate to put an extra request on you, post all these proposals that are being carried over till the next meeting as fast as possible on Pacifica.org, and also maybe Dan and the other national staff could arrange to email it to some of the major lists so that everyone, staff, listeners, the whole community can start debating these things quickly, and also proposals in the future that are being brought to the next meeting be posted in advance so they can be debated at all five.
Okay, let me just on behalf of Carol tell people that Carol is completely overwhelmed right now.
But that's not an unreasonable request, and we do have an administrative staff, so I think that it should be quite easy to get all of these proposals to the to the marvelous Verna Avery Brown, who can get them up on our website. Can you? Is that too much to ask of you, or do we? No, I need to.
Let me just say that between the staff and
I can't
the board,
do
we'll
it,
figure
so
out
we,
how to get it done. It may not be Carol does it. We'll figure out how to get it done.
All right. Well, I want everybody who has any proposal that's up for discussion before this board to email it to me in digital form. This is impossible to do with text,
right.
Hard copies. Okay. That won't work. So
right.
Everybody who's got anything. Well, I want it to come through me. I'll forward it to Verna as a package so she knows what she's getting. Is that okay? Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Leslie, I would suggest, though, that we have this discussion fairly soon. I mean, I'll say very quickly, I was on a show at BAI a couple of months ago, and I'm talking to the producer who was discussing the history of the struggle, the research struggle, as though, you know, he's from Mars. You know, it's like I come do my show and I don't know about those things. And I think it's time we put an end to this. Now, I'm cringing at the level of bureaucratic administrative thing we're piling up on the stations and the national staff, but I think this is a special case. And I think that we should hold a discussion soon.
Okay. There's, you know, a lot of issues that we need to discuss very soon. So we will, again, we need to be realistic about our... You know, not only we need to balance the political needs and the political obligations that we have with the reality of 24 hours a day and 7 days a week and other demands on our time and, you know, limited resources, right, other commitments that people have. So we not only among ourselves, but we need to ask those of you here today, those of you who are listening on the webcast or on the radio, the staffs, the programmers, the listener activists, the lab members all around the country, we need to ask not only for your involvement, but your patience, right, so that we can, in an orderly and disciplined way, move through all these items, not just at any given meeting, but in between the meetings as well. And that's not to shut down anything or ignore anything, but to just be realistic about how much work any group of people can do in a given time frame. So I just ask for that patience and cooperation with us. Having said that...
Can I
yes.
Have one statement? For our next meeting, if I may suggest, for comment periods, it would be nice if we had some sort of written comment before the meetings, and that way we can be prepared for in greater depth for the questions that need to be answered, and it also might speed up the process.
You mean it can't be totally impromptu?
I was going to suggest that we need to talk to the people. You know, it's one thing to be at the table and at the mic. It's another thing to be coming to the meetings, as you all have. And I think we need to talk with ourselves and with people who have been coming to the meetings to try and figure out how to handle that whole
right,
process.
Right, but that's just my suggestion right. In terms of if we had the questions in advance, it would give us as board members an opportunity to respond. I know that if we had 100 questions during this period of time, a lot of the questions might be duplicated. And so for us to respond, we could even put that information, the responses, out on the Internet. And if you have other questions, it might even increase the amount of questions that we can respond to. Because I know that 2 minutes, in most cases, 1 to 2 minutes is not enough time for you to express yourself, and I think it's very important that you do have comment and also are able to ask questions and get answers from us.
Good. I'm sorry.
Yes, Carol.
I actually wanted to change my proposal about everybody getting anything that's being held over to me. I was going to ask if maybe I could have a volunteer assistant out there, perhaps Bob, who would like to see this. You could perhaps facilitate working with people to get it to Verna. Could you do that for me?
Roger volunteered.
I, all right, well, I'll talk to you about it
later. Okay, people can talk to Carol. Just for the request, Carol can talk to people. Right, can figure that out. The next meeting of this board is scheduled to be in Houston, Texas, the Lone Star State, the weekend of September.